Good morning, everybody. How does that go? I was glad when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord. I'm glad this morning to be in the house of the Lord with you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
The scripture reading I want to share this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. It's the seventh chapter, and this is it. The Pharisees, along with some religion scholars who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around him. They noticed that some of his disciples weren't being careful with ritual washings before meals. The Pharisees would never eat a meal without going through the motions of a ritual hand washing, with an especially vigorous scrubbing if they'd just come from the market, to say nothing of the scouring they'd give to jugs and pots and pans. The Pharisees and the religious scholars asked him, Why do your disciples flout the rules showing up at meals without washing their hands? And Jesus answered, Isaiah was right about frauds like you. Hit the bullseye, in fact. These people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their heart isn't in it. They act like they're worshiping me, but they don't mean it. They just use me as a cover for teaching whatever suits their fancy, ditching God's command and taking off the latest fads. He went on, well, good for you. You get rid of God's command so you won't be inconvenienced in following the religious fashions. Moses said, respect your mother and father. Moses said, anyone, this is tough, this is hard, this is gonna hurt, anyone denouncing father or mother, this is what Moses said, should be killed. But you weasel out of that, saying it's perfectly acceptable to say to father or mother, gift, what I owed you, I give it as a gift to God. That relieves you of an obligation to your father or mother. You scratch out God's word and scrawl out women its place. You do a lot of things like this. Jesus called the crowd together again and he said, now listen, all of you, take this to heart. It's not what you swallow that pollutes your life. It's the vomit. It's what you vomit. That's the real pollution. When he went back home, after being with the crowd, his disciples said, we don't get it. Put it in plain language. And Jesus said, are you being willfully stupid? Don't you see that what you swallow can't contaminate you? It doesn't enter your heart, but your stomach works its way through the intestines and finally it's flushed. He went, and so I'm going to let that be. So good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wow. Pretty overwhelmed to have my beloved Joseph's house community with me. Sharing my reflection on God's word this morning with all of us, I want to acknowledge and give thanks for fierce, heartfelt reflections by Austin Channing, a young African-American pastor, for her meditations on being an angry black Christian woman. I also honor Dr. Cornell West for the refiner's fire that burns within him, that is his light. The last time I shared with you on a Sunday morning, I shared how, thanks to my former colleague, Blossom Williams, an African-American woman about my age, I came to realize how my worldview, if we think of our worldview as an umbrella, my worldview was actually big enough just for me. Thanks to Blossom, I woke up and I knew that I want my worldview to be much bigger, to cover and include the worldviews of my brothers and sisters of color, as well as those of us who, like me, grew up unconscious of the privilege that comes to us without asking, just because we're so-called white. The last time I shared with you, I spoke about how God was putting people in my life who are helping me to get a bigger umbrella. So this morning, I'm grateful to be able to share with you the continuing aspect of my journey, what I'm thinking about and praying about and feeling. Sometimes when I pray, I ask God to help me live in alignment with God's will, to help me respond concretely with God's love, with God's love, to help me respond concretely with God's love to the racism, the oppression, and the suffering that increasingly I'm aware of. And the suffering I'm speaking of is mostly local. It's the everyday suffering here in our city, experienced by men and women and children of color, particularly through racist practices of law enforcement, but not only that. And when I pray, I also pray for healing and forgiveness for myself. For all of my life, almost no structural violence has touched me. And even my close relationships with my friends, the men and women at Joseph's House, especially the men and women of color at Joseph's House, because our relationships are there at Joseph's House, an interracial community undergirded by white privilege. I've unconsciously held myself at some distance from the oppression of my brothers and sisters. And in recent years, I've become aware of that distance between me and the people I love. And it hurts. I want to close the gap. And my prayer has been something like, Lord, help me. Let my heart break for the things that break your heart. Lord, let my heart break for the things that break your heart. In this prayer, I acknowledge the distance I feel from my suffering brothers and sisters. I'm asking God for greater empathy toward those who suffer injustice, who suffer racism. I'm asking God to help me to not turn helplessly away from racial injustice as I become more aware of it and as it hurts me. But it occurred to me today that the assumption that God is heartbroken over injustice isn't entirely true. God is not sad about the injustice. God is angry about it. And I'm thinking of two friends. Juanita Brathwaite is an African-American woman I worked with years ago. And about 6 weeks ago, she called me to tell me that her son had been shot dead in front of their house. And just last night, a man who has been here several times, who's a new friend, Edward Sargent, called and said that his son, his cousin, had been murdered here in just this past week in Washington. I think that 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 distancing I'm trying to find words for, that I can feel, this is not what God feels. And that sadness or that isn't what God feels. I believe God feels. I want to feel anyway angry about these deaths and as they're happening to men and women of color here in our city. And I don't know about you, but I know I might be, I am, I may as well just say it, I am comfortable thinking about God as sad, as mournful about injustice. It's pretty comfortable for me to think of God as shedding tears and going through the same shock and sadness I experience as I slowly become more aware of how injustice really affects real people, some who I know. And that sadness isn't good enough. It's not true enough. In today's reading of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus, did you hear? I hope I read it. Jesus is angry with the Pharisees. He's impatient with his own closest friends. And his own closest friends are struggling to actually really understand him. But his tone and the tone of the prophet Isaiah, who he quotes, was, "Woe is you! Woe is you!" Anger, judgment, not sadness. In Jesus' response, I feel fire. This is not a sad God. This is the description of a God who is outraged. In his book, Black Prophetic Power, Cornel West calls black prophetic power. Listen to this. This is what he says. The hypersensitivity to the suffering of others that generates a righteous indignation that results in the willingness to live and die for freedom. To be whole. I mean, we want to be whole. But isn't that what we're longing for, what we come together for, what we study for, what we open our hearts for, what we take classes for, what we live for, to be whole? We must acknowledge also God's expectations of us. God becomes angry regarding injustice because God expects better of us. God expects better of me. Time and again, God tells us to stand against oppression. I'm with you, he tells us. Be more than religious. Right here, remember this morning when we came in our green pamphlet here, there's a reflection, and it's by Gordon Cosby, and he says, don't you know, there's a limitless flow of life, a superabundance of love and caring. You can't exhaust it. I'm with you, God tells us. When God's expectations aren't met, the prophets and Jesus proclaim God's anger. To acknowledge God's anger is to acknowledge the source of that anger and God's reaction to our participation, to my participation, conscious or unconscious, in oppression. If only this acknowledgement could stir us, give us a sense of urgency. I have a feeling that I can live with the knowledge that I've broken God's heart. For some reason, the idea that God is sad doesn't seem to move me to action very much. Would it be harder to continue the behaviors of distancing, of silence, of helpless overwhelm? That's my go-to. If I honestly believed, if I knew in my soul that these behaviors provoked God's wrath. I read an essay recently by an African-American writer whose name is John Mehta. He called his piece "I Raises." I have some copies here. Should anyone want to explore it? His piece is about why it's so very hard for white people and African Americans to speak meaningfully together about race. In the essay, he says, I don't like that story about the Good Samaritan. Everybody likes to think about themselves as a person who sees someone beaten and bloodied and helps them out. That's too easy, John Lennon says. If I could rewrite that story, I'd rewrite it from the perspective of Black America. What if the person wasn't beaten and bloody? What if it wasn't so obvious? What if they were just systematically challenged in 1,000 small ways that actually made it easier for you, me, people who are white, Good Samaritans, we like to think of ourselves, to succeed in life? Would you be so quick to help them, he says, or would you, when I, like most white people, stay silent and let it happen? I want to move from not noticing, move from feeling helpless, move from feeling heartbroken over injustice, to feeling anger, and living and dying consciously for freedom. I'm paying attention to angry, Black, Christian writers and activists, those who resist, protest, write, march, organize, and advocate out of a deep belief that no one is worthy of oppression. This is strong love. I want to love like this. May we become angry at the powers and principalities that let injustice thrive.